Hello, everybody! Welcome to the 30k, now 32 actually, K subscriber Q&A. That rhymed. I'm super excited to sit down and answer some of your questions. But before we get into all of that, thank you. Honestly, there is no way on planet Earth that I could have ever imagined so many of you showing support and interest in following my content. And yeah, I'm just extremely grateful to each and every one of you. Whether you are someone that, quote-unquote, just, it's never just, listens, or you're one of the people that are commenting and engaging, and maybe you're even a supporter on Patreon, which, of course, extra thank you. You're all absolutely amazing, and thank you is really all that I can say. I don't know if there are enough words to kind of express my gratitude. Just know that you are immensely, immensely appreciated. Thank you. So you had some very interesting questions that was submitted. I'm gonna be mixing some that came from YouTube, some came from Patreon, and some came from the anonymous forum. And in the interest of kind of keeping this a little bit interesting, even for those that maybe have listened to previous Q&As, I thought I should pick topics that we haven't really touched upon before. So, if I don't answer your question that you submitted, likely it's something that I've touched upon before. And in all honesty, there's also sadly a bit too many questions for me to be able to get to each and every one of them. Please, again, do not take this personally. And I hope that I can answer your questions in a future Q&A, should we choose to do this again. Okay. Enough with the intro, right? I hope you're sitting comfortably, by the way, because I have a sneaky suspicion that this is going to be on the longer side. Get some tea, get some coffee, maybe you're laying down in that case, get comfy, get snuggly. And yeah, let's get into these questions, right? So let's see. The first question is from Orals Audios. And you ask, what is your stance on AI-generated media? That's a huge question. I think when I think of AI-generated media and ASMR, my immediate thought is thumbnail art. Like, this is what I see a lot. Sometimes it's super, super obvious that this has been produced by AI. And sometimes it's less obvious, but it's stated in thumbnails or in any way other than that. My stance on it is I try to stay away from it if I can. But in full transparency, I am someone that has used AI before. And it's something that I definitely regret not reading up on enough beforehand. I think it's always a big mistake to not do your research. And I'm very thankful to one of the commenters on on an audio where I had used AI art, and this person actually took the time in a very kind and very respectful way to nudge me in the direction of doing a little bit more research, really. And because it is very problematic, it's problematic how these bots are trained. You know, AI bots need to be trained. They need to be given a reference material, really, in order to be able to recognize, understand what you mean when you want to create, I don't know, let's say you want to create an image of a dog. The bot needs to be trained. It needs to be given references to this is what a dog looks like, right? And one of the issues is how do you gather those reference pictures to train the robot with? And, you know, how are the artists work? You know, photographers and painters and, you know, how are they being compensated for you to use their work in such training? You know, their work is copyrighted, very likely. And you using that is not allowed, and they're likely not even being compensated for it. I can't say that that's always the case, but I do know that that is the case, sadly, a lot of the time, which is unfair, right? It definitely is. You're essentially stealing someone's work and using it in a purpose that they have not agreed upon, and they're not even getting compensated for it. Like, it's, that's not cool, you know? And another thing is that producing AI art is cheaper and is quicker, which means it's definitely a threat to real artists who, for them, it might take hours and hours and hours and hours to create an art piece that an AI bot can do in a few minutes, if even that. How are you supposed to be able to compete with that? You know, time. Time is money. So someone that produces AI images or uses bots to create these is able to sell those pictures at a much cheaper price because they can produce a lot more of those images in a very short amount of time in comparison to someone who does not use AI. So there are a lot of issues, and this is just speaking to the artwork section of it. So yeah, I definitely try to stay away from AI art, and I do encourage everyone to do their own research about it. It's very important, and that was definitely a lesson learned for me. Long answer, but it's a big question. Like, it requires a little bit of a discussion, I feel like. Okay. Next question comes from at heavenlydemon592. Are you a romantic or are you pragmatic when it comes to relationships? So this is an easier one to answer shortly. I am 100% romantic. I love love, and I definitely wish I was more pragmatic at times. I think there's definitely a limit, right? And I think going with your heart is really, really important. It leads you to be more open, which of course is not without risks, but I still think the rewards are bigger. And yeah, I'm 100% romantic. The next question is a really big one. We could probably make a whole audio dedicated to this topic. I'm gonna try to contain myself a little bit and not ramble on for too long. But this question comes from I Am Aang Kong. June is both Pride Month and Men's Mental Health Month. Do you think men's mental health awareness is overshadowed by Pride celebrations? As a man suffering from depression, I rarely see people talk about it, and it breaks my heart. Anyways, I love your content. Thank you. You're absolutely right that men's mental health in general, is absolutely not talked about enough. It doesn't get the recognition that it deserves. And I think to a large degree, because a lot of mental health issues are invisible, you know, because of how society is and how we tend to look at mental health as a weakness that we're supposed to hide from the rest of the world. You know, for example, when someone asks us, how we're doing, if you were raised anything like me, which sadly most people are, and I had wonderful parents, don't think anything else, but you are supposed to be polite and not make the other person feel uncomfortable, so you answer, I'm fine, thank you, how are you? And that's it, you know, you're not supposed to say, my anxiety is all over the place today and I don't know what to do. Or I feel like just crawling back under the cover and not leaving my bed. It's kind of not acceptable to give those answers, which is sad, you know, it's sad that we're expected to put on a brave face and go about our day. And I think for men, there is still this stereotype of what is the quote-unquote ideal man, right? He's big and strong and, you know, he's the provider and he's the protector and he's supposed to be this, I don't know, this thing that's almost not human. Because one of the things that actually makes us human beings, you know, is that we are capable of a huge range of emotions, really. And not saying that other kinds of animals are not. They are, but, you know, it's one of the things that we claim, at least. And the stereotype is ridiculous. Nobody's ever going to be able to live up to that image. You know, we're essentially saying you can never show any type of emotion that is associated with being, I'm going to use this word again, but quote unquote weak, because that's how society perceives, you know, emotions like feeling sad or feeling vulnerable or feeling, I don't know, anything but like strong and happy-go-lucky, essentially. Anytime you're not that, it's perceived as something negative. And yeah, it's extraordinarily sad. And I don't think those stereotypes and the stigma surrounding mental health would go away if Pride Month was, let's say, move to another month. I sadly don't think that that would, I don't think that would change anything, in all honesty. So I don't think it's being overshadowed. I think it's being non-prioritized, and for other reasons, because to a large degree, this is a problem that isn't really super, super visible. And yeah, I also do want to mention just that there are a lot of men in the LGBTQIA+ movements as well. And yeah, I think sometimes, because it goes into stigma and what's socially accepted again, there's a lot of pain and a lot of suffering that happens to, you know, beautiful rainbow people because they don't necessarily fit into that box that society tells us that we should all be fitting into. So, in a sense, they're not completely separate causes, these two things. And yeah, and that was an extremely, extremely long-winded answer. I do also want to say that I'm really, really sorry for your pain. Depression is truly debilitating. And please know that you are absolutely not alone. And you deserve to get better. You absolutely do. I know it's so, so difficult. I know it's so not easy to get help. It's not easy financially. It's not easy mentally to take that step. It took me a lot of years. Honestly, way, way too long to get help. And it's worth doing everything that you're capable of, essentially, to get that help. Because there is wonderful help out there. There truly is. And please, please know that you deserve to get that. You absolutely do. You do not deserve to suffer alone. Yeah, please, please know that. Okay. Okay, that's a heavy one, but I think it's really important to talk about mental health. Obviously, this is something that I am very, very passionate about talking about, and yeah, the more we talk about it, the better, I think. Okay, we are moving on to something a little bit more lighthearted. And these next couple of questions comes from Eliminator. Your first question is, what is the biggest thing that you have learned since you started creating YouTube audios? The easiest answer that I can give here is definitely going into the technical part of it. I am terrible with computers, with cell phones, with really most forms of technology, if I'm going to be completely honest. And going into this, I had no idea how to record things. I didn't even know how to record things on my phone, to be honest. Let alone did I know, like, what is a condenser mic and what is the difference between that and a cardioid mic and what is an interface and, like, I had no idea. And I'm still learning. Every single time I record an audio, I feel like I learned something new. But it's been really, really fun. So I think one of the biggest things I learned is, as scary as it is to put yourself out there, it's incredibly rewarding. It's incredibly fulfilling to feel like there is something you can do to maybe perhaps give back a little bit and to make someone feel a bit better, even if it's just in the moment. Most of you may know that I listened to ASMR, and I still do on occasion. Definitely. And the reason why I started to listen to those is because I was the one that needed that comfort. And when I started to feel a little bit better, I wanted to give back to a community that had been such a huge source of comfort for me. And it's a really, really beautiful feeling. You have no idea how much it truly warms my heart when someone tells me that an audio that I've made has helped them in any way. It creates this warm, fuzzy feeling inside of me that I'm just eternally grateful that I get to do this. And I'm rambling on as usual. Surprise, surprise. Okay, next question from Eliminator. What do you find most intriguing in storytelling? I think I have a lot of thoughts in my head when I read this question. One of them is essentially me telling the listener's story from not necessarily from their perspective, but I again, because depression, anxiety, mental health is not really talked about a lot. It's putting a story out there that, you know, hopefully someone can recognize themselves a little bit in. And I think that's a really, really beautiful thing. I also like to think about, you know, who is the listener to the audio that I am creating right now? What have they possibly been going through? And what is their relationship with the speaker? And yeah, I find that process of figuring those things out really, really fascinating. And when it comes to different types of audios, like the fantasy and such, which I haven't done that much of, it's really also kind of fun to immerse yourself in a completely different world, which is the reason why we love to watch movies and read books and such, right? It's that immersion factor. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. Okay, Shiki bonus question two. Ooh. Okay. Are you cool? Oh, am I cold? Discord joke. Okay. Next, we are diving into a bigger topic again. This question comes from Anonymous. And you ask, would you consider making Not Safe for Work content again if many people were interested? Possibly when? You are the best ASMR artist. We love you. Thank you for your endlessly warm, kind, and gentle energy with every single audio you make. It's life-changing. Cute. See, this is what I mean with you guys being so... yeah, I get all warm and fuzzy when I read things like this. Thank you, that's incredibly sweet. So, I'm unsure is the answer to your question. For those of you who have no idea what we're talking about right here, I a while back used to make Nazi horror content over on Patreon. And I stopped doing that a little while back. Not because I didn't enjoy creating those audios, but because there were some issues with the safety of the platform, really. I had a few instances where minors were able to access the page, which is not okay, you know, and I laugh when I'm nervous. You might have noticed that already, but that's why it's not funny. Yeah, it's something that affected me a lot. I don't believe that minors should be exposed to that. I know it happens. Sure. But that doesn't mean that it's right. And I didn't really know how else to handle it but to take down my audios. I know that me taking down my audios is not going to show this. It's not going to solve this issue completely. You know, there are lots of different sites out there, and sadly, a lot of the issues with platforms where you are able to post Nazi for work content is that it's all too easy for a member to claim to be 18, even if they're not. You know, there isn't really a great system to verify members' age. Whereas as a creator, you have to send in pictures of your driver's license or passport and such. You have to send in selfies that match the picture on those, and you have to go through a process of getting verified in order to be able to create that type of content. And that's the case on a lot of adult platforms, so platforms that allow for adult content to be posted. Exactly how it should be, right? I wish it was the same for minors. And in order for me to be able to repost older audios and, you know, continue to create new Nazi for Work audios, I would need to find a solution that I'm comfortable with to really mitigate the odds of a minor being able to access those audios. I understand that no system will ever be absolutely perfect, but it needs to be a lot better than what it is today. Yeah, that. So I don't know, sadly, is my answer to your question. I would consider it, but as to the when, I have no idea, sadly. All right, lots of big questions in this Q&A, but it's fun though, I appreciate it. It's a good mix of like heavy topics and lighter topics, and yeah, you guys are doing good. Let's see, next question comes from Big Chirp. Why do you say the word Bubba so much in your comfort audios? I absolutely love when you call the listener it in your vids, but it's weird because in the US, where I'm from at least, the term Bubba is often used as the disrespectful replacement of the word guy or buddy. So I always wanted to know why you also say it. I never ever meant it as a disrespectful thing at all, that I absolutely promised you. I had no idea that it meant like guy or buddy. To me, when I use that word, it's really a silly way to say baby or babe. You know, it's It's like an affectionate, silly little nickname. So yeah, I'm just saying baby or babe, but trying to be a little bit cheeky about it. And that's it. Let's say Noah. You have a couple of fun ones. Okay, bring it, Noah. If you could go back in time to have dinner with anyone in the world, who would it be? And what would you all talk about? That's a good question. I mean, there are a lot of people who truly changed history, really. That would be super interesting to have a conversation with. But I think maybe, like, my great, great, great grandmother or something would be really interesting to talk about, to just hear from someone that grew up in a completely different time, to listen to her experiences, really. And it's also like a bit of family background history research a little bit. I think that would be absolutely fascinating. And we would have a lot to talk about. I would be able to talk all about the future and what has happened to the world. And she would educate me on how things used to be a lot more. So that would be incredibly fascinating, I think. Now, let's see. If you could have any superpower, what would it be? So, this may sound a little strange, but lately I watched a show. It might have been on the Discovery channel, maybe, but it was a show about birds. Anyway, prey birds, really. And when they make these documentaries and such, they always look so cinematic, if you know what I mean, so beautiful. And they particularly had these shots. I don't know if they used a drone or helicopters, whatever it may be. But it videoed the birds in an like above them perspective, if you will. And they were flying over this huge lake. And it was just soaring in the air in a way that was so peaceful to watch. It just looks like they're as light as air, you know? And it looked so beautiful. And you watched as the bird flew lower and lower towards the surface of the water until it got to the point where its feet could kind of just lightly tap the surface. And oh my god, it looked, I wanted to fly after seeing that. I know that sounds so silly, but I want to be able to fly just to have that moment of like freedom almost. That's what I thought of. It created that feeling inside of me, like free like a bird, you know, that expression. Okay, that kind of goes into your next question. If you were an animal, what would you be? I mean, I wouldn't mind just for a little while being a bird. You know, if I was to be a different kind of animal, I would probably be a bird. Yeah. Or a really, really spoiled dog. I wouldn't mind that either. Okay, next round of question comes from poor pal. Let's see. You have a few. What is your favorite color? LOL, but in all seriousness, I have a couple. Well, that was a question. That was a question. My favorite color is purple. your second question, if you had to live in a fictional movie, book, game, which would you choose? I would choose to live in the Harry Potter universe. I want to learn all the spells. I want to sit next to Hermione Granger because she would be an excellent, excellent teacher. She would teach me everything. I want to meet all the beautiful animals that exist in that world. I want to walk into Gryffindor common room and throw myself on one of those beds because it looked so darn comfortable. I want to eat in this huge great hall that they have. Yeah, everything. I want to do everything there. What is your favorite season and what does it remind you of? My favorite season is fall, just because of how beautiful it is. And it's not like, you know, spring has its charm, summer has its charm, winter has a charm about it as well. But fall, I just think, with all the leaves changing colors. And I also love rain, as long as I don't have to be outside in the rain. I actually really love it. I find it very soothing to listen to rain kind of falling down against the window. It's really beautiful. And, oh, next question is a difficult one. What is your funniest relationship deal breaker? A funny deal breaker. Do I have a funny one? I don't think I have a funny one. I have lots of deal breakers, if you want to get into that. But yeah, I think I'm going to change your question. Forgive me for doing that. If you want a deal breaker in general, I would probably say lack of respect. Not being kind, not just to me, but to people that they meet in their day-to-day life, to people at the cashier, to people that they work with, to everyone, really. And not being kind to animals. That tells me everything. Okay, I might have a silly one. If you don't smile when you see your dog walking on the street, like, that's a bit. Because if you do smile when that happens, like when you see a cute cat or a dog or any kind of animal, if you smile when you do that, I know you're a good person. Good people like animals. That's what I'm gonna say. Not liking animals is definitely a deal breaker for me. 100%. 100%. We will not get along at all. Okay, last question from Poor Pal is, what would you like to be remembered by? That is a good one. I think I would want to be remembered as someone who is kind and compassionate. It doesn't need to be anything in particular, but that's what I would hope that someone would describe me as. And I would take that as the biggest compliment ever. Okay, next question comes from Anonymous. When making your videos, does it feel like you're talking to the viewer or only the microphone? P.S. Love your content and I appreciate you helping me through the sleepless nights. I'm happy to do so. So, a little bit of both is the answer. When I have an idea in my mind of the kind of audio that I want to do, I definitely picture the listener, you know, who I'm talking to. But there is also a little bit of technique involved. Like, you have to think about mic placements, how far away am I, how close am I supposed to be, is all the settings correct? Sometimes you have to retake something. And so there's a little bit of both involved, but I absolutely have a very clear image in my head of who the listener is. Let's see, from another anonymous, what is your love language? So it's next to impossible to just pick one, because I have several, but touch is a really big one. I'm just a very, I don't know, I'm a very, like, touchy, feely, physical person. I love hugs, I love holding hands. It doesn't need to be, like, even in a romantic kind of way. Like, I'm that way with friends too. Friends that are open to it. You know, everyone's got to be comfortable. Not everyone is touchy-feely, and that's totally okay. But yeah, I'm definitely one of those people that is very, like, touchy-feely, cuddly. That's just me. And quality time is another big one. And words of affirmation. Yeah. All of them are important, really, but I would say those three are, like, the major ones. Let's see, another anonymous. Hi, your girlfriend ASMR. I hope this message finds you well. I don't have a question for you, but I was wondering if it will be alright if you could dedicate a few words of comfort and encouragement to those out there that might be feeling lonely or isolated. As always, thank you for all that you have done. Thank you for your support, for being a listener. So, I guess the main thing I would say here is you're not alone in feeling alone. And loneliness is one of the worst feelings. It just is, to feel like you don't have anyone who is there for you. You know, we're all, to a certain level, at least, social creatures. You know, we crave interaction at some level, and yeah, it's not something that I wish on anyone, for sure. Know that it's far more common than you think to feel like that. And know that if you are ever in pain, if you are suffering, there is absolutely help out there. And boy, do you deserve to get that. You truly, truly do. Like, you matter so much more than you think. And if anyone hasn't told you that lately, I'm very, very sorry. Because you deserve to hear that every single day. And you truly, truly do matter. You matter so much. There is a place for you in this world that is completely yours, and that could never be replaced. And I hope you take that to heart and realize that you're amazing in your own unique way. Trust me. And I'm sending you lots. Oh my god, I wish I could just squeeze you. Send you so many hugs. Take care of yourself, okay? Okay. Next question comes from @simplynobody. Hey there, I really love your content. You're kind of the reason I look forward to Saturdays, actually. Anyways, what do you think about long-distance relationship realistically? Have you ever been in one? If not, would you be open to one? Maybe date someone who are from a different country? And if it's not too much already, any advice or opinion for those who want to try or are thinking of it? That's a big question. First off, I'm really glad you enjoy the audios. Thank you for being a supporter. Thank you to everyone. I know I said this before we started, but really, thank you to each and every one. Okay, long distance relationship. I haven't been in one that would require me to take a plane in order to see the person. But definitely a couple of hours in a car or by train. And it's absolutely possible to make that work. It requires a little bit more effort from both parties. And I think it would come to a point where you need to take a plane and such, even more so, because now it's not just effort and, you know, driving a car, riding a train is expensive too, but a plane, definitely, definitely. So I don't personally, for me at least, consider that to be a situation that I would want to be permanently in. At a start, absolutely, with the right person, of course, I would definitely do that. But at some point, we would have to have a conversation about the future. And I would definitely be open to moving for the right person. But yeah, that's... it won't be easy. And that's what I'm telling you, because you're essentially uplifting your entire life. And I think that's worth doing for love, but it's not going to come without some challenges. So it would definitely need to be the right person, for sure. Any advice or opinion? I think it's a good thing to be open to that possibility, because if you are dead set on dating someone, let's just say who lives in your own town, even, let's minimize this to that, you are, you know, kind of shielding yourself from an opportunity to make connections with really, really amazing, incredible people. You know, maybe I'm someone that believes in soulmates. I don't know if you are, but it will be kind of awful to stand in the way of yourself like that, right? I kind of think so. I understand, you know, not everyone is able to travel. That's a completely different scenario, I think. And I understand that there are circumstances where long distance would not be possible. But if it is, at least to some degree, I think it's an option that's worth being open to. Next question. And it comes from @NorvinKnights. Do you have an audio you loved working on? Every single one of them, probably. But I get your question. It's like, do I have a particular one? I love a series that I made. It's on the older side now, definitely. called When You Have No One Else. And it's really about loneliness and finding a friendship. And yeah, I'm pretty proud of that, honestly, because yeah, I definitely enjoyed working on that. Pretty much any comfort audio, comfort and sleep aid is definitely like my favorite categories of audios. I absolutely love that. Next question. At silly boy XT3QO. How many takes does it take you to make an audio? It depends. It depends on how noisy my neighbors are. It depends on the scene, so to speak. Like, do I need to be standing up or should I be sitting down or laying down? Because if I need to switch from a lot of different, then I need to set up the mic differently. And yeah, that's going to be more, you know, it's going to be divided into sections, if you will. One when I'm standing up, one when I'm laying down, etc., etc. And of course, if there's any kind of props involved or such that needs to be done differently. Other than that, I would say in general one or two. And it's not because I don't make mistakes. I make a lot of mistakes. The more common one, though, however, is like just mispronouncing words. And I usually try to make a joke about it and work it into audios. You've probably noticed me making fun of myself not being able to pronounce certain words in more than one audio. If you're not a super recent listener, you probably heard that before. And that's a mistake that I'm trying to laugh off. And I actually prefer to do that because I think it's a little bit more realistic. You know, when people talk, they make mistakes. And English is my second language, so I happen to make a lot of mistakes when I talk. And so I actually think it would be and is very natural for me to mispronounce things on a semi-regular basis. So I usually work mistakes into an audio, hence I don't retake an audio every single time I make a mistake. So that's why I'm able to not have that many takes. Okay. I am going to butcher this name. Let me try. Oh, actually, no. I might not butcher it too badly. At Adrift by Photography. Is that right? I hope so. Since you've been posting many videos with a blonde hair, blue-eyed girl as the caption, does it mean that you're blonde hair and blue-eyed? And will you ever do a face reveal or keep your identity a secret? I have answered this one before, but it was easily, like, especially... Yeah, this is a very, 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 very common question that I get, so I thought it was worth making an exception and including that in the audio. And yes, I have blonde hair. I have blue eyes. Typical Swedish person, really. I won't do a face reveal. You should never say never, but yeah, pretty much never. So I guess creating a little bit of an avatar, so to sense, is my way of giving you a face to the person in the audio without giving my actual face. Does that make sense? I hope so. Yeah, so my identity is a secret. And it's remaining so. Okay, so next person that sent in question was anonymous. And you had a lot of questions. the majority of them I had addressed or gotten into a little bit in the previous Q&As. So I picked the other ones that you also asked. And yeah, please forgive me for doing that. It's in the essence of trying to not repeat too much and keeping the audio here semi-short. It's not really short at this point, but you know what I mean. Anyways, you ask, do you like watching horror movies? If yes, then which is your favorite? Yes, I do. I absolutely do. Horror, true crime, absolutely my alley. My favorite horror movie is The Conjuring. It's really, really freaky. I think it's still on Netflix, if I'm not mistaken. At least it was. Yeah, don't watch it late at night. Don't. do not do it, trust me. It's really, really freaky. Let's see, Anonymous also asks, can you please do more period comfort audios? The old ones really help. I'm glad it helped. I mean, menstrual cramps is one of the worst things. Ugh, not pleasant. I'm not completely against it. I do make, you know, audios that are really designed for anyone, like whether you have a uterus or not, to be able to listen to. That is my main focus, to be as inclusive in that aspect as possible, but it's not impossible. I might make exceptions here and there. So I will note that as a request. Oh my god. Okay, you had another request, which is, forgive me for laughing. You're gonna understand in a second why I'm laughing. Can you please sing Smågrodorna? I really want to hear it from you. So for those of you who is wondering, like, what is that? What is that? It's a Swedish song that you sing during Midsummer, really. And it's translated to Little Frogs. And it's really cringy. And cheesy. It's a funny song. There's nothing particularly pretty about it. It's just silly. And okay, a little bit. I'll sing a little bit. Just a little bit. And you might want to cover your ears, the rest of you who did not ask to listen to this. Små grodorna är lustiga att se. Små grodorna är lustiga att se. Koakaka, 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 ka. Koakaka, koakaka, koakaka. That's all you're getting. Thank you for your questions. Let's see, next question comes from at Turbo Skittle. And, oh, you have more than one question, sorry. Let's see, the first one. What is your favorite ice cream flavor? So, current favorite is one with, it's from Ben and Jerry. They have this one that has like little chunks of brownie in it. It's so good. It's made from almond milk, if I'm not mistaken. It's really, really delicious. Oh my god, it's so good. So good. If you haven't tried it, oh my god, go out, try it. So good. So good. Well, let's see, your other question is, I know in some of your videos you've said that you played like The Witcher and Mario Kart, but do you play any other games? And if so, what are they? So, I love playing The Sims. It's one of my... Yeah, it's a little bit of an obsession, actually. I love creating characters. And I usually don't do like a ton of gameplay. Like my favorite thing is to create and to think of like the family dynamics and set everything up like that. And then I usually do a little bit of gameplay and then I'm like, I'm bored. Next. That's just me. But yeah, The Sims is a really big one for sure. Next question comes from at BG56. When you first started uploading audios, what was your aspiration? Was there a specific number that you thought of? If I get there, I'd be successful. And have you reached it yet? So my real kind of reason for wanting to do ASMR, if you will, was to provide a little bit of comfort, the same amount of comfort that I had felt when I first started listening to ASMR. So that was really it. And I hope that somebody would watch it. Like, that was incredibly flattering. You know, I remember the first couple of views that I got and I was so darn excited. Like, people are actually watching it. People are actually watching it. And oh my god, somebody liked it. Like, how cool is that? And, you know, there's that little, like, oh my god, somebody actually listened to this and enjoyed it? Like, that felt so good. And, but no, there isn't really a specific number. And yeah, I can't say that there is. Like, I'm gonna keep going as long as I enjoy creating it, as long as other people enjoy listening to it. And I'm super, super grateful. I don't know truly how to express how grateful I am and how blessed I really am to have so many people now that is showing their support and their, you know, fondness, if you will, for the audios. It's incredibly fulfilling to me to see that, to read really, really kind comments, and to hear that what I'm doing is actually making a difference for someone, and that... I'm gonna cry. But genuinely, like, that is everything. I don't even know how to express my gratitude for that. And that's all I ever wanted to do. And I'm incredibly, incredibly grateful. It warms my heart so much that I'm able to do that. Yeah, that's really all I can say, is I'm very, very grateful to be in the position that I'm in right now. Okay. Next question. At Minendalf, maybe, I hope. 7989. Let's see, which audio scenes do you enjoy the most? And does making some scenes give you personal flashbacks of, example, past relationships? So I answered the first part a little bit. The audio scenes that I enjoy is definitely comfort for depression and anxiety, because both of those things are some things that I struggle with. And so that's what I find the absolute most rewarding to do. Those are the audios that I definitely relate the most to. So, and I guess that kind of goes into your second question a little bit about personal flashbacks and such. I don't know if I would necessarily, in my case, label it as flashbacks, but I definitely relate to both the listener and the speaker in a lot of scenarios. And yeah, I can definitely relate. Let's see. The next one comes from another anonymous person. And they say, I discovered your content recently and just wanted to say thank you. Aww. Your videos really help comfort me at night. I am someone who constantly overthinks everything and has extremely low self-confidence. I feel like this has been holding me back in life. Is there anything you do to help deal with these problems? Also, if you want a more lighthearted question, do you like Pokemon? And if so, do you have a favorite? Let's do the lighthearted one first, because I have a feeling that I'm gonna get a little bit rambly again in this section. But I don't know a lot about Pokemon. I know I think Pikachu is very, very cute. But I also remember somebody told me this. If someone asks you this question, just say Vaporeon, because they're the best Pokemon ever. I don't know if that's true or not, but I'm gonna trust this person and say Vaporeon and hope that that's makes me a little bit more badass than I actually am. As far as your first question, do I fail you? As someone that also struggles with anxiety a lot, I think this is just one of the most common thing is to overthink. It's to overanalyze situations, what you say, what you do, what other people said and did to you, and did it really mean something, and what is going to be the outcome of these interactions, what is going to happen tomorrow, am I in trouble for what I said or for what I did, and it's so incredibly difficult to get out of that thought pattern. It really, really is. The one thing that I find helps me is whenever I have a certain situation circling in my head and I can't seem to break out of thinking about that and worrying about it and honestly kind of obsessing over it, is to write it down. What actually happened? What am I really anxious about? And then looking at that very, very critically and see, you know, try to think of, is there actually, like, what are the odds of what I am truly afraid of actually happening? How big is this issue really? And this is in no way is this designed to kind of undervalue what it is that you're feeling. And if it comes across like that, I understand you. This is an exercise that was taught to me in KBT, which is cognitive behavioral therapy, to look very critically at anxious thoughts. And it sounds almost insulting. And like the person asking you to do this don't have compassion and don't understand, you know, that this is just how you feel right now. Like you feel anxious and it's absolutely okay to feel anxious. We all get anxious, trust me, but it actually can help a little bit to try to see if it's possible to look at it objectively. It's kind of more so looking at it from the perspective of what if you were your own best friend right now and they told you about this situation. How would you try to comfort them? How would you try to look at the situation? What kind of advice would you give them? So I think that's a method that I like to use, like to try to be really compassionate and kind towards yourself. But the exercise of itself, actually, at least it helps me when I'm really anxious, and I hope that maybe it can help a little bit. As far as self-confidence, again, I'm a really big proponent in writing things down. Write down things that you do well. I think it takes practice. You have to practice being kind to yourself, because I think, sadly, it's not always super accepted to be kind to yourself. It's accepted to almost be like really self-deprecating and to not speak highly of yourself. Because if you are speaking highly of yourself, it's always kind of borderlining that bragging territory, which is kind of sad because we should all be kind and uplifting even to ourselves, right? So I think that's really important. One of advice that someone else taught me that I have to laugh a little bit about it because I do this to myself all the time and it kind of goes into the anxiety thing, is to not scare yourself. And what I mean by that is, if you're anything like me, you take, let's say, a small mistake that you did at work and you immediately think you're getting fired. You won't be able to pay rent. You won't, how are you going to get money for food? Like everything is just snowballing into a catastrophe. So the writing exercise that I told you at the beginning is really to kind of stop those thoughts at an early state, but not scaring yourself, someone once told me, is the key to start being more kind and loving towards yourself. It's to begin there, really. I hope this rambly section helped at least a little bit, and I hope I answered your question. The next, and I think last question, this is getting super, super long, this audio. Let's see, the last question comes from @TC. What advice would you give to make sure someone is loyal or just searching for a partner? Ooh, interesting. I don't know if I have a very comforting answer to this, because getting into a relationship, being open to starting a relationship, sadly, and I wish this wasn't the case, means that you have to be a little bit prepared for a potential heartbreak, because that kind of just comes into you. Building trust means also being open and a little bit vulnerable. I think what you can do to kind of medicate, not medicate, what's the word? Mitigate, is that the word? to decrease chances of, maybe I should say. See, this is what I mean with mistake. Like, we're just gonna keep going. anyway, is to take things slow. Really, don't put a timeline on your relationship and say that within X amount of time, I want to be here and here. It's wonderful to have goals and, you know, things that you dream about doing in the future, but try not to set like a short deadline, quote unquote, to your relationship. I feel like going at a slow and comfortable pace, really take the time to get to know one another. I also think trusting your gut is really important. I haven't always done that, and I've always regretted in those situations. So, yeah, listen to that inner voice. Next question. Forgive me again, I am going to mispronounce your name. At Yurichi Tsunjikuni. That's not even close, is it? I'm so sorry if I'm just... Yeah, I'm completely mispronouncing your name. I'm really sorry. You ask an interesting question. do you like to be submissive or dominant in a relationship? I think there are clues in the audio. And yeah, that's what I'm gonna say. There are clues. And yeah, I think we should start wrapping up this Q&A. This is a really long one, but I find that a few of the questions asked definitely needed a longer discussion. And that does also sadly mean that we won't have time for each and every one. I hope, like I said, that we can do another one of these in the future where I can answer some more questions if you still have them. And thank you very, very much again to everyone who took the time to send in questions, to everyone who listened, and everyone who comments. And as always, a big special thank you to the patrons for making all the audios on the channel here possible. Know that each and every one of you, regardless on which platform you are, is you matter a great deal to me, and I'm incredibly thankful for your support. And yeah, I hope you have a really amazing day, and be kind to yourself.